In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today, and I'm so excited because we have an amazing guest on with us today, Devin Schott, who is the author of The Rule, Counsels and Directives for Husbands and Fathers, an awesome book. And we're going to share all about the book with you today so we can help men truly become the men who God created and calls each one of us to be. Very excited about that. And would love for you to be part of the program today. Of course, send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. I'm also excited because we have some incredible pilgrimage opportunities coming up next year in 2026, and would love for you to join us. So we're going to Guadalupe, Mexico, Our Lady of Guadalupe, in May of next year, and Father Matthew will be joining us on that pilgrimage. Very excited about that. And then we're going to Ireland in June of next year, and Father Patrick Mary will be joining us. All the priests that are coming are from EWTN. And then in September, we're going to Japan, and Father Leonard will be joining us there. And then finally, October of next year, we're going to Italy for Eucharistic Miracles of Italy, and Father Mark will be joining us on that pilgrimage. So so blessed to have to be partnering with the friars from EWTN to join us as priests and spiritual directors for these pilgrimages. So if you want to join us, some people already signing up, would love for you to join us. Would love to have some Beacon of Truth listeners with us. Just go to my website, deaconharold.com, and just scroll down a little bit. You see a huge banner. It says Harvest Journeys. Or just click on the Pilgrimage tab at the top of the page to get all the information and to sign up so you can join us in one of these incredible opportunities to deepen your faith in Christ with these incredible pilgrimage experiences. And go and try something a little bit different today. Since we have a guest coming on today, Devin Schott, we want to make sure we have plenty of time to introduce him and to talk about our great topic today. So we're going to dive right now into the Soulful Psalms. All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is where we take one of the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises, the Psalms that we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and when we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and we connect that psalm to your everyday lived experience. Well, today we're going to finish our look at Psalm 38. So Psalm 38, of course, is in Book 1 of the Psalms. Psalms 1 to 41 are all attributed to King David. And the prescript, the superscript of this psalm says, Mizmor HaDavid Zerach. Zacher. So it says, a psalm of David for a memorial, right? And what's interesting is that memorial doesn't mean just to remember the past. Because when they offered the sacrifices, the graces and the blessings of a past event are made real and present now, right? So that's the sense here that David is speaking. He started off this psalm saying, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Reprove me not in your rage. For your arrows have sunk deep in me. Your hand has come down upon me. Right. So obviously, again, typical David, he's going through something difficult and he feels that, that the Lord is doing it to him, but he's experiencing as if the Lord were allowing this to happen on purpose. Right. And so he says, almost like in a sense, blaming God, your anger has come down upon me. Your arrows have sunk deep in me. And so that's the sense that David has when he's writing this psalm. And so we're going to jump to the end, to a few verses from the end, starting at verse 20. All right, so Psalm 38, verse 20. He says, "My wanton enemies live long and grow strong, and many are my lying foes." Right? So David feels almost outnumbered. You know, he feels that his enemies are keep growing. It seems that his enemies are growing stronger, and that these people that are lying and saying these things about me and trying to attack me, you know, they seem to be winning. They seem to have the upper hand. And he goes on to say, "They repay me evil for good and attack me for seeking what is good." Right? And many of us feel like that within our culture, within our society today, that when we stand up for our faith and we speak the truth in love, right, as Paul says in Ephesians 4:15, that we're being attacked, that people don't want to listen to us, or not even listen to us. They don't want to even have a conversation. You know, if you disagree with me about something, fine. Let's sit down and talk about it. Let's not have a situation where there's anger and vitriol and spite and hatefulness. If we disagree, that's fine. We can disagree, but you know, if we want to have a discussion about it, let's have a discussion. Let's sit down, talk together, try to understand where each of us is coming from, and find a way to seek the truth, right? Because ultimately, it's not about, oh, who's right and who's wrong, who's the better argumentator, or who shouts the loudest. Ultimately, it's about what is true and what is not true, objectively true, right? Not because, not subjective truth, not where I want it to be true, but is it true in and of itself? That's what we're seeking, right? Because we're seeking, the heart is yearning and longing for truth and goodness and beauty, right? The transcendentals. And so we need to seek that in conversations with others. And it needs to be done in a way that's respectful, in a way that honors the image and likeness of God in the person sitting across from us, even though they disagree. You know, we have to recognize the presence of God in every person that's made his image and likeness, and respect and honor the dignity of that person as a human being. So those are the things that we need to understand moving forward. I think that's one of the great lessons that we can learn from David in this particular psalm. And he goes on toward the end of the psalm to say, "Forsake me not, O Lord." So even though David recognized that his enemies are pretty strong, that they are attacking him, that they're speaking lies about him, that they're spreading slander about him. Again, which happens to us, even though those that disagree with us may seem to have the upper hand. David is calling upon the name of the Lord. He's not trying to resolve the situation himself by relying on his ingenuity, his creativity, his imaginative thinking, his critical analysis, or his process for discernment. No, he's not doing it himself. He's calling upon the Lord for help. He goes, "Lord, you see what's happening. You are the God of the universe. You're the God that created everything. You see what's happening. Do not forsake me. My God, be not far from me." Right? Be not far from me. Be close to me, Lord. Like, even though I feel overwhelmed, let me be overwhelmed with your presence. Let your awesome presence, let your awesome love and mercy overshadow all these other things that seem to be tearing me away from you, Lord. You know, Lord, I know that you're here. I want to feel your presence. I want to feel your love in the midst of this chaos that's going on in my life right now. I love that. My God, be not far from me. Make haste and come to my help. Right? That's almost like Psalm 70, which is also written by David, right? That's the one that starts off. We start off the divine office. Oh God, come to my assistance. Oh Lord, make haste to help me. Right? Psalms 51 to 72 are written by David. So He almost has an allusion here to that psalm. He goes, "Make haste and come to my help, my Lord and my salvation." So the Lord is our, again, almost an allusion to another psalm. The Lord is my light and my help. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Before whom shall I shrink? That's another, I think, Psalm 27, also written by David. So we should do the same thing. Call upon the name of the Lord. Trust that the Lord will help us, because the Lord is ultimately not only our God, but also our source of salvation. All right, my friends, we got a great guest today, Devin Schott, talking to about his great book called The Rule, Counsels and Directives for Husbands and Fathers. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Good balladeer, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was just thinking like that sounds like missing you, you know, back.
Oh yeah. I was thinking more like Nickelback-ish.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, exactly.
You kind of hear the and like whatever he does with his voice there. I can't do that.
That's great. Again, we said this before, how awesome is that music, that certain songs will evoke memories or feelings.
Yeah.
I just love how music does that, because ultimately it's just not just about, I mean, you can appreciate imagination and creativity and writing and virtuosity, but ultimately it's about how it hits you in the heart, right? How it makes you feel, how it carries you someplace, how it kind of brings you out of yourself. You know, and allows you to experience things and feelings. And again, to this day, when I hear Weekend in New England, you know, by Barry Manilow, I am transformed, not transformed, but I'm transported back to seventh and eighth grade when I had a crush on the first girl I had a crush on, you know, where girls didn't have cooties anymore.
That's right.
That they were pretty cool.
It's a banner day in a man's life when that happens.
Yeah, exactly. And whenever I hear that song, I mean, it's like I feel. Like I can almost feel like I did when I was 13, you know. It's like, wow. And that's pretty awesome.
So
That is
true.
pretty awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a great guest, Devin Schott, talking to us about his awesome book, The Rule, Counsels and Directives for Husbands and Fathers. Of course, would love for you to be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Don't forget, if you have Roku, we have just updated our platform for EWTN TV and radio. It functions pretty much like other apps, so it's easy to find what you need. Of course, all you already have is a high-speed internet connection. You're ready to roll. But if you want to find out more about Roku, maybe you're looking for a way to view us on a regular basis, check it out, EWTN.com/Roku, or on your Roku device, just search EWTN today.
All right, my friends, I'm going to introduce to you now our guest today, Devin Schott, who's the co-founder of Fathers of St. Joseph and co-host of an awesome podcast called The Catholic Gentleman, who he offers straightforward, precision-guided wisdom to assist husbands and fathers in steeling themselves for the battle and preparing themselves for battle for their souls and the souls of their families. That's already been going on for quite some time now. We all know that. And through the intercession of Saint Joseph, you will receive counsels and directives to deepen your Catholic masculine spirituality and to aid you in discernment and growing in faith and guarding your family, right? Because we're called, it's actually a biblical mandate in Genesis chapter 2 to serve, protect, and defend. You can find out more about his work at fathersofstjoseph.org. So I'd like to welcome the Beacon of Truth, Devin Schott. Devin, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Deacon. Great to be with you.
All right. Well, obviously, this is your first time on the program. And so people that are listening or watching right now may not know who you are. So for our audience, you just explain a little bit about your background. And are you a convert or a revert? And how did you come to faith in Christ and the work that you're doing now?
Man, long story, but basically, yeah, 20, I was born, I guess I was baptized Catholic, but really didn't have that faith at all. And so at the age of 24, I had a massive conversion experience, surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Long story there. But through that process of actually shopping around at churches, I found myself in the Catholic Church to be the true church. But really, how I got into this, how I got into the apostolate of the Fathers of Saint Joseph and founded that was through a personal dilemma. Basically, my third daughter, Anna Marie, was born at 28 weeks premature. She was very small. I mean, like her leg was like the size of my index finger. And she spent a month in the neonatal intensive care unit. And then she came home after that, after her lungs and digestive system was functioning properly. And we had our little Anna Marie. And 5 days later, she spiked a fever and she was having respiratory problems. So we readmitted her to the hospital, but she couldn't be readmitted to the NICU for fear of infecting the other babies. And so we had to admit her to the pediatric unit. But at that time, that hospital wasn't equipped to take care of a baby that small. They were saying that the red flags were all over the place, but we were young parents and we didn't know. And there was some nurse neglect, about 10 hours of undetected apnea. And then she suffered a hypoxic event. Not enough oxygen was transmitted to her brain. And so by the time the medevac team came in, got her on manual life support, rolled her across the tarmac, and got her on that medevac helicopter to fly her to a hospital a couple hours away, she suffered three clinical death experiences and permanent brain injury. And today she's confined completely to a wheelchair and kind of trapped inside of her body with massive brain injury. But it was the next day that my wife showed up at the hospital, the children's hospital, after she made arrangement for our other two children at the time to be taken care of. And she saw Anna Marie on life support. She's coding out. The doctors are coming in, resuscitating her. And she just turned to me and she said, "I just need you to be a husband and father. I need you to really give yourself to us." Because at that time, even though I'd surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, I still had like one foot in the world, living for the world, living for the promises of the world. I was working around clock, developing news sets for Fox News and a cooking show on PBS, and I was trying to start my own, launch my own side business. I was a part-time youth minister, which everybody knows is like full-time youth ministry. And what she was saying is you're just kind of a placeholder. You need to come home and really live your call for us. And so I tried that. I didn't know what I was doing. There's no encyclical on fatherhood, you know, there's no encyclical specifically on being a husband. And so I was really languishing. I really didn't know what to do. And as everybody says, it doesn't come with a manual, you know. And a friend of mine saw me languishing and he paid for me to go on a pilgrimage to Medjugorje. And while I was there, two things happened. Our pilgrimage director, Nancy, I was talking to her about, man, I just feel like God has a call in my life. I don't know what that is. I don't know how to actuate that. And she said, Are you married? And I said, yes. And she said, are you a father? Yes. How many children do you have? Three. And she said, go home and be Saint Joseph. And I was like, bummer. You know, I was hoping she'd say, like, go home and be Saint Paul, you know, or something really cool. But, you know, Saint Joseph, the guy with the lilies. Okay, great. You know, and so I didn't really know who Saint Joseph was. And the other thing that happened, I went to confession to a Dominican friar. And in the middle of my confession, he stopped me, said, "You will become a saint by means of your vocation, not outside of it." And that alarmed me because I was living all these other paths for glory, for so-called success and greatness. And he was really awakening me to say, "Look, your vocation, your calling as a husband and father is the path. That's the primary path from which all subsequent paths will flow. So you got to get that right. If you want to be a saint, if you want to be holy, if you want to be living for the Lord, you want the Lord's blessing on your life, this is a calling you must embrace. No other calling will be given." And so I went home and I consecrated myself to Our Lady, of course. And in the process, she began to introduce me as Saint Joseph. And long story short, I wrote a letter to myself on fatherhood called Joseph's Way. I shared it with a friend. The friend shared it with the publicist without me knowing. The publicist shared it with Ignatius without me knowing. And then they called me and said, "We want to publish your book." And I'm not even a writer or speaker or anything, you know, at that time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. So we founded a local chapter of Father Saint Joseph, and then that grew and expanded. And that's why I'm doing what I am doing today, because in that process, I discovered that men don't have a battle plan. Men don't even understand their own personal calling. We're so confused between the two kingdoms of the world and the word. And we think that God's word is at the service of us being successful in the world, but that's not right. And so I discovered that, man, so many of us are suffering for a lack of vision. Like, you know, Deacon, what is it? For a lack of vision, they perish, right? That's what the scripture says. So that's the short of it. That's why I'm here today. We founded the Fathers of St. Joseph in 2012. And from that point on, we've been developing content to help fathers and husbands live out their great calling to become the man, the father, the son of God that God has called and destined them to be.
Yeah, Devin, great story. You know, and you make a good point. And that's why I wrote my book, Behold the Man, because when there were no books out there. In fact, my first television series at EW10 was called Behold the Man, about male spirituality. It was received very well. I didn't realize that. I mean, you know, I didn't realize how the series was going to be received, but received very, very well because there was nothing out there for men. And so when I was approached by Ignatius for writing a book, one that floated to the top was, I said, no, there's got to be something out there. There's got to be some kind of papal document. There's got to be another book. But, you know, but there wasn't. And so my book is a comprehensive look at what it means to be an authentically Catholic man. And I saw that book as kind of springboard, you know, it's kind of not a definitive work, but just like, here's a serious starting place, you know, that can be built upon, you know, and so I see that the work you're doing is extremely important in our culture today. Very important for the life of men, because you're right. Men are often kind of clueless. You know, the only experience they take into their families is what they learn from their own family, which could be tragic depending on what happened within that family. So it's finding that the faith, and then, okay, how do I integrate this faith as a man? Then how do I integrate this faith not only as a man, but as a husband and a father, those two expressions of authentic masculine spirituality. How do I live that out? And so guys are trying to figure that out all the time. So I'm so grateful to you for the work that you're doing with Fathers of St. Joseph and for your book as well. So just going back a little bit. So when you were growing up, what were you part of a Christian denomination, or was it your parents didn't really instill any faith at all? Or because
yeah,
we have
so
a
my
lot
mom,
of young men who are struggling, you know, when they're 13, 14, you know, whether
oh,
faith
yeah.
means anything to them or not.
Yeah, my mom was Catholic, my dad was not. And so faith was not important to us. In fact, though, my family life, my home was a bit of a war zone. There was a lot of tension, let's just say that, and a lot of corporal punishment. It was just a tough place to live. And so my dad was a sports guy. I love sports. I learned sports from my dad. And so that was my life. Sports were my life. That's the way, you know. So, you know, this is what's fundamental to us as men, is that our core need as men is to be respected. That's fundamental. We equate respect with love. And the man we respect the most, you know, before the age of 8 or 10, is dad. He's the greatest. He's the strongest. He's the most powerful, you know? And so whatever dad is interested in, we're interested in. Because why? Because the man we respect the most, we want him to respect us. And God builds us this way, because he is the eternal father. And ultimately, he wants us to be sons who look to him for respect, for honor, for glory, rather than looking to the world. And I think this is fundamentally the problem that's going on throughout the world, throughout the ages, ever since the beginning, is that we men, we derive our identity from the world rather than the word, from the world rather than being sons of God the Father.
Amen. I'm looking forward to dive into this topic even more. We're talking with Devin Schott today, who is a co-founder of Fathers of St. Joseph and the Catholic Gentleman Podcast. We're talking about his great book, The Rule, Counselors and Directives for Husbands and Fathers. We'd love you to be part of the program. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
When a guitar needs to weep, this is how it goes.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, yeah, speak to me. You know, I love when you have solos where it sounds like the, you know, like they're saying something to you.
Yeah.
In that solo, it's not just about chops or, you know, speed or dexterity or anything like that. It's about You know, what are you saying?
Sure.
You know, what is this solo saying? How is it speaking to me right now? You know, it's all about building and all that kind of stuff, and speed as an accent, not as bravado.
Yeah.
You know, I just love that. And we have that right balance in there. It just makes for a great song.
Well, I like when guitars kick in that right spot and that chill goes right up the back of your neck. And you're like, ah! Like you didn't see it coming. And then every time after that, you can't wait for the chill bump, right?
Yeah, yeah. I love that. And playing through changes also.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what instrument, you know, how you, you know, play through the changes and what that sounds like. And I like Vernon Reid from Living Color, I think, does that really well. I mean, he plays with a lot of speed, but I mean, everything he's playing makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not just trying to play fast. If you listen to the changes and listen to what he's doing,
yep.
It's like, whoa, okay, I get it now. You know, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, just like our faith, we have to. It has to make sense.
That's right.
You know, it's not about moving through life as quickly as possible or trying to impress, you know, the people around us. It's about, you know, Devin was saying before, to honor God. That's, in fact, that's what fear of the Lord means. Yahweh in Hebrew means a filial fear, honor, reverence, and respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we want to do that just with like music. We want to respect the song and the intent of the artist. We also want to respect God, right? And
yeah.
and his intention in our life, you know, as well.
So true.
Awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have an awesome guest, Devin Schott, who's speaking to us about his book, The Rule, Counsels and Directives for Husbands and Fathers. He introduced himself in the last segment. Now we're going to dive into this book in this part of the show. And of course, we'd love for you to be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Don't forget, if you missed Take 2 earlier today, the encore tonight at midnight Eastern gives you a chance to not only hear the topics, the discussions, whether it's relationships, faith, or all of it in between, we get a chance to check that out, and you can be a part of the show, take2@ewtn.com, to submit any of your encore answers. But again, Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie, only on EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, Beacon of Truth today, we have Devin Schott, the co-founder of Fathers of St. Joseph and co-host of the Catholic Gentleman podcast, which is actually one of the podcasts that I have on my phone. You know, as you guys know, I travel 250,000 miles a year all over the world, and I'm listening to podcasts all the time. And in fact, if you were to take my phone and scroll right now, you will see that the Catholic Gentleman is on my podcast list as well. And so, you know, Devin's.
That's a great honor.
Yeah. Well, no, glad that you're my podcast life. I tell you. So Devin, you introduced yourself, told us a little bit about your background and your story.
Yeah.
Now, tell us, you told us about your first book. Now, tell us about how this book came about.
Yeah, so I don't know about you, probably not, but I sometimes get discouraged. I'm melancholic me, you know, and I founded the apostolate in 2012. And, you know, men can be, I think, one of the most difficult, especially Catholic men, one of the most difficult subset to really reach. And the reason is because as men, we're very oriented toward doing and success and, you know, solutions. So work is a big part of our life. And then we kind of look at vocation, being a husband, father, something that just kind of happens to us. And so at times I get a little down, and I was at a point in the ministry where I was just like, I'm done with this. I've written over 20 books. I've done all these podcasts. I'm done with this. And I talked to my supervisor because I'm a part of a bigger not-for-profit. And she's like, you need to take a break and you need to go outside and work. And so I was outside working, and as I was doing this, you know, I was meditating on St. Ignatius's Rules of Discernment, trying to figure out what to do with my life. And the thought came to me, man, why isn't there something like this for husbands and fathers? I mean, huge subset in the Catholic Church, the sleeping giant. And why isn't there like a spirituality for men, a code of life, a rule, you know? And And then the thought came in, well, Devin, why don't you do it? And I was like, there's no, I'm done. I'm done. And then like within like 15 minutes, the first rule was right there in my brain. And I'm like, I'm not writing it down, Lord. I am done. And I couldn't sleep that night. And the next morning I woke up with rule two in my mind. And I was like, okay, I'll write those down and then I'm done. I'm not gonna, well, within 5 days, I wrote the seven sections, 88 rules, and it just kind of came out. And so the idea behind this is that, you know, just as the Dominicans, the Franciscans, the Norbertines, the Carmelites, whoever, they have a rule of life. They have a spiritual way of life that sanctifies them. And as you know, Deacon, that word sanctification, this is God's will for you, St. Paul says. What is your sanctification? And sanctification comes from that word hagios, which, yes, it means sacred and holy, but it actually means different. And so the temple was hagios because it was different than any other building. And God wants to make men, Catholic men, hagios, different from the men of the world. And so I wrote this book in hopes to encapsulate a spirituality through St. Joseph's spirituality, which is perfectly scriptural, by breaking it down to these seven areas with 88 total rules to help men daily, weekly, monthly live this way of life and unlock their vocational glory to become the a great husband, a great father, a father in the image of God the Father, a husband in the image of Christ the bridegroom.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Simmers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And that voice you just heard was Devin Schott, who's the co-founder of Fathers of St. Joseph and co-host of the Catholic Gentleman podcast, talking to us today about his awesome book, The Rule, Counsels and Directives for Husbands and Fathers. And you can find out more information about Devin and his work at Fathers of St. Joseph, that's ST Joseph, Fathers of St. Joseph, ST Joseph. Dot O-R-G. And so Devin, that's awesome. You know, God inspires you, and then you have to, no, I'm not going to, I'm not doing this, Lord. This is not me, right? You end up having a whole book about this. And so why do you think you said that Catholic men are often the hardest kind of to break through and to get this, and why do you think that resistance is there? Is it, is part of spiritual warfare kind of a thing, or is it just we're too aligned with the culture? Is it maybe come from a background where we didn't see or experience, that? I mean, I certainly did not experience that from my dad. When I got married, I had to figure out how to be a husband and father. It took a few years, because I just be honest, I didn't know what I was doing. To be honest, all I knew, I mean, I was Catholic and stuff, and that was fine, but I did not know how to be a Catholic husband or father, and so I had to figure it out, but you're in, with the work that you're doing, you're kind of cutting that short. You're like, okay, look, you don't have to figure it out. Here's this to help you to figure out what kind of husband and father that you God calls you to be.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think you've nailed it. Why we are in the situation we're in, it's multitude of reasons, right? Radical feminism or anti-authority, whatever. But yeah, you're right. I mean, temptation, intimidation, and distraction, these are the fundamental Achilles heel of every man. But let's face it, we've lost touch. I think like one of the big problems of Protestantism is that it made salvation like it was like Halloween candy, right? You get it for free. You don't have to do anything for it, kind of thing. You know, once saved, always saved. You know, just pray the sinner's prayer. And so we kind of tend to look at like the spiritual life as something like, I don't have to be sanctified. God's going to save me anyway. Heaven's for everybody. There's nothing to do. Well, wrong. I mean, like that, to get to heaven, actually, though Christ has carved the way, is the most difficult thing for all of us to do because the world is so assaulting. And so I think fundamentally what's going on here is I think it's the four P's, but basically we need to know our purpose. And what is the purpose of every Christian or every man is to glorify God, to have communion with God, and union with God, and to lead others into that union. Right? Those are the big three. That's our purpose, to be a holy living saint unto the Lord. So I think we've lost touch with the first P, which is our purpose. But once you know that that's your purpose, then you have a plan. And that plan is what I call a rule of life. a spirituality, a code by which you're living. And then that plan has practices. So daily, weekly, maybe monthly practices that allow you to live out that plan every day. And then those practices actually keep you accountable. But then the fourth P is you got to participate in that plan daily. And so I think what's going on is men just need a vision. Like so many times, like you probably heard this a lot too, when you give talks and you're at conferences, men will come up to me and say, just tell me how to do it. Or where were you 25 years ago? Just tell me how to do it. And we just need someone to just say, these are the practicals. So how it's set up in the rules, very practical. You have a rule under whatever subsection you want to dive into. So let's say it's your marriage, or let's say it's your work, or let's just say it's about being a divine son of God. There are certain rules there. The rules take about 60 seconds to read, but you could meditate on them forever, right? But accompanied with that rule is a spiritual practice that is highly practical. So something very simple, and it says, step one, do this, step two, do this, step three, do this. Yeah. And so it's like telling the guys the why and then the how. And that's the whole idea behind the rule, to embody that spirituality of St. Joseph, because we know that St. Joseph, he lived a spirituality of embracing silence, embracing the woman, embracing the child, embracing his charitable authority. And I really think that that's what the world is against, is the charitable authority of the pater familias, the father of the family, and he's trying to take him out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, because even in the garden, you know, when Satan attacked his wife, you know, because Satan's the author of death. And so he goes after the one who brings forth life, you know, who has that special intimacy with the Holy Spirit as a life giver and life bearer. And his job was to serve, protect, and defend. And he didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and so as a result of that, sin comes into the world. But then you have juxtaposed with that, you have Saint Joseph, who says nothing in scripture, not one recorded word, but his actions spoke louder than his words.
Yes.
You know, and so Saint Joseph, I think, becomes a quintessential example of how to be a husband and father without saying a word. And you're exactly right. Men need to be told, okay, this is how I do it. You know, how many times that my wife has said something like, man, that's a lot of laundry. What she really says is, I really want you to do the laundry right now. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, this man. That laundry is kind of high. Holy cow. You know, and she's like, don't you? And she's like, you know, like intuitively wants me to pick up on what she's saying. I said, no, men need to be spoken to firmly and directly. I need you to do this.
Right.
You know, and just like when if there's an initiative that father needs to do in a parish, you know, I said, father, don't put it in the bulletin. You need to go to the guy, the individual man that you want to be part of this, and grab them and say, hey, I need you, you know, to be part of this. That's what, you know, and so that's why I love your approach here.
Yeah. And so that's so right, because I think, you know, just look at the military. Why is the military successful? Because it's all based on hierarchy and how to take orders and receive them and give them. And in the spiritual life, God is the commander, the divine commander, and he wants to give us his counsels, his orders, so that we can fulfill them, so we can become like him. God wants to glorify us. Bottom line, he glorifies those who glorify him. But the problem is that, so it comes down to order, right? So if I am disordered on the inside, like, so for example, like bulletproof vest, let's just say, if I'm going into gunfire and I haven't prepared for that gunfire, let's say I caught in the middle of it, I'm not wearing a bulletproof vest, I'm going to be taken out. But the idea is to prepare. So a policeman prepares just in case he wears the vest. And so it's not if he's going to avoid the bullets, it's when he's hit. And that's the deal in the spiritual life. We will be hit. The devil is going to assault us with his fiery darts of doubt and discouragement and disobedience and despair and all of that and deprecation. He's going to assault us. It's not if, but when. But if we have the bulletproof vest of order, even though we might be hit and taken down, we can still rise from that victoriously. And so I think what's going on is men lack a certain, your interior life gives your exterior life form. So in our interior life, do we have order? The more ordered you are interiorly, the more you're going to be able to combat and overcome disorder and chaos when it assaults you. And we Hey, my car just blew up literally yesterday driving from Chicago home. Okay. I just got stung by a bee this morning. You know, all hell breaks loose every day. It's just going to happen. But when you're shaken up, whatever's inside is going to spill out, as they say, right? So if I have order and a spirituality in my life that's based on divine sonship, my vocational call, my marriage, my fatherhood, my authority, my work, and I've got my, you know, in a sense, my spirituality, my spiritual practice is lined up in that area. I've got that order. No matter what happens, even if I get hit by the bullets, I'm still going to be standing, and so will my family, and so will my children and my children's children.
Oh, I love that. That is awesome. I'm Deacon
Huh.
Harold Burke Simmons, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a great guest, Devin Schott, talking to us about his awesome book, The Rule: Counsels and Directives for Husbands and Fathers. And so why don't we talk about a few of the rules? And
Yeah.
what are a few of the rules? Because we're not going to go through obviously all 88 of them, but let's
Okay.
pick a few and kind of like talk through them, kind of walk through them, so men can have a and even the women that are listening can say, "Ooh, I need to get this for my man,
Yeah,
for my
yeah.
husband." You know, in
Yeah.
fact, very interesting. I was at a talk not too long ago, Devin, and a teenage girl came up to me and said, I want to thank you for writing your book." And I have six of them now. And I said, "Well, which one?" She goes, "Behold the Man." I'm like, "You read that book?" And she goes, "Yeah, because my she, now here's what she said. My father gave it to me in adoration to help me to look at now what kind of husband and father that I should marry." I'm like, "Oh, wow. I never even think about using the book that way." And so there's women listening now thinking, "Ooh, this would be a great thing for my husband, my brother-in-law, my son, so let's walk through a f just pick a couple of them, but let's just walk through them."
Okay, sure. Let's in the section on marriage. All right. So this it's brief, but so here's the book. Can you see that? Does
Yeah.
man, Sophia did a great job on the way they package this. It's excellent. But so rule 14, the custos sacred duty to bless his wife. Let the custos, Latin, guardian, custodian, right? Saint Joseph was a custos, the guardian of the Holy Family of the Christ child. Let the custos understand that God has granted him the authority to bless his wife in the name of Jesus Christ and of the Most Holy Trinity. By means of this blessing, God forges a deep bond between spouses that is most difficult for the evil spirits to disrupt or to overcome. In the moment of the blessing, the custos images the sweetness, the tenderness, sacrificial love, and courage of the divine bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Therefore, let the custos bless his wife daily, imploring God to bless her, to favor her with his grace, to protect her from all evil, and to grant her eternal communion with the Most Holy Trinity. So that's the rule. And then the associated spiritual practice, bless your wife daily, is first, identify a consistent time to bless your wife, typically prior to bedtime or rest. Second, trace a sign of the cross on her forehead. Third, invoke God's blessing upon her while tracing the sign of the cross on her forehead, praying something like the following: May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine kindly upon you. May the Lord grant you his kindness and peace all your days, that you may behold his face in the marriage never ends. Abba, Father, protect my wife from all evil and bring her safely into your eternal embrace. Amen.
I love that. That's great. And as you were speaking, I was thinking of Ephesians 5:25, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So our job is to die to ourselves, to live for our wives, our children, if you're a priest, for the church and for the culture, that he might, and yeah, keep reading, that he might sanctify her, right? Which you talked about
Yes.
before, having cleansed her by washing of water and the word. Right, so this idea of a husband blessing his wife and being the priest in his house is not just great counsel and directives that you talk about. It's a biblical mandate that you're actually
Yes.
putting flesh on the bone and say, "Okay, here's what
Yes.
the Bible says, and here's how you can practically live this out as a man every day."
Yeah, the rule is deeply scriptural through and through. Everything is based on the foundation of scripture and, of course, the tradition of the church. But yeah, you're exactly right. In fact, in Ephesians, it also says that the husband is called to present his wife. And that word for present actually is to deliver himself over for her in the Greek. But the point here is, I think a lot of times it's so easy for us to present ourselves, our problems, what we want, you know, what's going on in our life. And we kind of forget about our wife's hormonal shifts, the psychological burdens of her day, you know, what's going on with the children or all that she's encompassing. And so a great husband, he defends himself, he defends his wife and delivers himself up for his wife by delivering her to God. He presents her along with himself to God in his prayer and his sacrifices. And he basically shows God, he prays what he means and he means what he prays. It's not just lip service. He's like, this woman is number one in my life and I want you to bless her.
Yeah, I love that. And it's even an allusion even back to Genesis, where it says, therefore a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. And that word cleave to is daubach, which has two meanings. It means adhere to, like super glue. That's the first sense. But the other sense, it also means to pursue as to overtake. Right?
Wow.
So he pursues. And then when he reaches her, he puts her behind him. And he says, if you want to get to her, you got to come through me.
Yeah.
I love that.
And that's the problem of what happened in Genesis. And this is how the evil one works. Why didn't the evil one approach Adam first?
Yeah.
Because Adam was created by God to know when the enemy is going to confront him. This is most men. When the enemy comes for us, we see the enemy. We're like, okay, we're going to take you on, even if it means our death, really. That's what war is all about. But when the evil one, he knows if he goes through the person that he loves or is attached to, then he can create the divide. So Adam had this tension. Do I obey God and keep God? Or do I go with my wife and keep this wife, this woman that I've so longed for that God has given me? And maybe God will forgive me in the end, right? And I think that this is the problem with us fundamentally today is that we have certain things we love, whether it's money, whether it's our occupation, our prestige, our prominence, our power, profit, possessions, pleasure, whatever it is, and contraception, you name it. And the devil, he goes to the attachment. He goes to that relationship, whatever it is we're super attached to, and he creates this problem in which we have to make a choice between God and that. And usually, typically, what we do is we hold on to this and we think, okay, God, you'll give me forgiveness later. And yeah, if we repent, true, but God's looking for more from us than that. God wants to transform us into himself. As you know, Deacon, he wants to make us partakers in the divine nature, right? He wants to glorify us and make us one with him. He wants so much more for us. So he tests us in order to perfect us.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And even says in the scriptures that that Christ, I think St. Paul says Christ was perfected through the suffering.
Amen.
That he endured. And the thing is, everybody's going to suffer.
Yes.
You know, it's not about avoid, like the culture does, avoiding suffering because we think it's meaningless. It's about finding meaning in the suffering that's unavoidable. I think that's the key. So I think helping men figure that out. Okay, I'm going to suffer. This is going to happen. How do I get through this? How do I deal with this? I think that's a critically important point.
Well, yeah. I mean, like if you have a great father, a great father doesn't help his child avoid suffering at every turn. That's a terrible father. You know, that's neglectful and abusive in a way because it teaches your son never to grow up to be a man. God the Father is a perfect father. You know, as Hebrews says, what great father doesn't discipline a son whom he loves? You know, and if he doesn't discipline, then the son is a bastard. He's really not a true son. Why does God do this? God allows the pain in our life to exist so that we can learn our personal poverty. And as men, we're so prideful. So that personal poverty brings us to this place like, Lord, I'm limited. I'm pathetic. I can't do this on my own. And therefore, I depend on you. And then it's in that patience, that perseverance, waiting on God like St. Joseph, persevering in prayer. That's when we're perfected, as St. Paul says. So Christ or God the Father specifically, he allows us to experience pain because he wants to test us in order to perfect us. You know, if we're like balloons, you know, like a balloon is uninflated. It's still a balloon, but it's not fulfilling its purpose. But if I blow helium into that balloon, it says, ow, stop hurting me. Well, it soars. Same thing with us. God wants to blow his spirit into us, but that comes through sufferings and tests. And then we soar.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so awesome. All right, Devin, thanks for being on the show. How could people get this great book?
Yeah, go to Sophia Press and look up The Rule. I think they've got 20% off. And you can go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon as well.
All right. And they can we can find out more information from you by going to Fathers of St. Joseph. That's stjoseph.org. All right. Well, great show today. And remember, you can stream today's show and all of the Beacon of Truth podcasts by visiting podcastcentralew10.com/radio. And until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.